but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. The first three words of those of that scripture when I talked about it last time was in the beginning, which for many of us, when we hear those three words, what do we think of? Creation, Genesis. And John, when he wrote this, was thinking of that as well. You know, that wasn't by chance. And so there's a little bit of background in this book of John that I wanted to cover as we're sort of starting to go through it. And one of them is this: how many of you know that of the four Gospels, John is considerably different than the rest? Yeah, well, you knew now. I've just told you. We have. It is very, very different. And one of the reasons why that is that the other three Gospels, which might be called the Synoptic Gospels, you come in to fix that. Thanks, mate. Cool, thanks. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, were already written and within the church were already widely circulated as being an accurate telling of who Jesus was, what his ministry, what he did, the things that he said, the miracles that he performed. And so when this book was written, all of that was, as I say, widely accepted, widely known. And so you get this, all of that was taken as fact, taken as it had already existed, and therefore there's a desire not to just to repeat what was already known of Jesus. It was a whole, and it was written for a whole other perspective of who is Jesus. Now, I want you to get out your phones. I haven't done this for a while, so get your phones out. My phone number is 021-0219-96465. I want you to ask in maybe 2 to 3 words, answer that question: who's Jesus? Send them through. I'm going to use them later on, so probably not. So you can sort of send them, but I'm not looking for a novel. I'm looking for a text answer to who's Jesus. And so for me personally, I was really attracted to this book of John because of its difference. I kind of I do like things a wee bit different. And when you sort of look at that and you think, okay, well, so if that's the foundation, if the writer of John was sort of took all of these encounters of who Jesus was and what he did and what his ministry was like, and he took those and he kind of set them aside as being okay, and then looked at one or two, but still felt the need to communicate who Jesus was to write the book. I find it really, really fascinating then, and I think we will find it incredibly fascinating then, what is actually chosen to be written in this book. Do you know what I mean? Am I communicating myself? You know, so of all of those things, all of the amazing miracles, all of the amazing things that Jesus said and did, all of the encounters are set aside. You know, they don't contradict one another. But then on top of all of that, there's more to Jesus. Isn't it kind of fascinating to think, wow, what more could there be? I guess I'm the only one, but I thought it sounded amazing. I'm looking forward to going through it because you think, what more is there? You know, what could these questions be of the answers to these questions? Who is Jesus? I think for us, that's a wonderful question to think about. I'm going to a bit later on, I'll do it now. I'd invite you to put in your calendar that question, who is Jesus? Put it in your calendar and then put it on a daily repeat and give yourself 5 minutes in your schedule once a week or once a day for the next week to just 5 minutes be still and contemplate, think about, ask, who is Jesus? Go through all of the quick ones, you know, Son of God, part of the Trinity, get those all out of the way. But then keep pressing in to and keep diligently asking yourself, who is Jesus? And then there's a follow-up question. I'm going totally off my notes, so I hope I'm going to find my way through in the end. But there's a follow-up question then that I'd love you to put in your calendar as well. Maybe give yourself another 5 minutes to think about it. Is why should I believe? Why should I put my hope in him? It's a really, really great question. See, we live in an age now that values knowledge, and I'm not disparaging knowledge at all. It's great. But we've almost put knowledge of knowing the answers, of having the answers as king, as the ultimate, aren't we? It's all about knowing what we know, having an answer. I wonder if more we're going to find more out by asking the questions. John, we're going to have a great time going through this book because there's some brilliant questions. There's some brilliant things to really think about. There's a depth to this book that if we choose to ask ourselves those questions, that we will be very surprised by. I love that statement. There's a really famous statement about this book of John, which I've read it before, but this book is like a pool that is safe enough for a child to paddle in, but deep enough for an elephant to swim. Tough crowd. Mary likes it. I thought it was brilliant too, Mary. You know, we're going to find as we lean into this question of who Jesus is, as we read through this book of John, as we study it, as we meditate on it, as we ask ourselves, you know, on a daily basis who Jesus is, he's going to reveal himself to us. And in this book of John, we're going to see a great revelation of who Jesus really is. I want to read a quote from N.T. Wright, who's a theologian who I like a lot and think he's brilliant. And he's wrote this about the book of John. This book is about the Creator God acting in a new way within his much-loved creation. It is about the way in which the long story, which began in Genesis, reached its climax the climax that the Creator had always intended. I think that's brilliant. You know, in Jesus was what God had always intended. You know, like all of the other Gospels we see when we're starting out, they all start with what? A very similar sort of introduction to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or what? It's looking at who Jesus was. They were answering that question of who Jesus was, and they were answering it in a way that was very culturally relevant to them. And it was by saying Jesus was where he came from, his family line. And in all of those starts, there, you know, Jesus was the, what do we have? Someone go to them quickly. They go through a family tree, so to speak. I was reminded of, I have a great aunt in the States who, I grew up in a Mennonite, a very, very conservative Mennonite extended family. And I had a great aunt who seems as be the family historian. And she often looked at people. People weren't just who she saw in front of them. They were their father, their grandfather, their great-grandfather, their grandmother, their auntie, their great-aunt, their family tree. And that was who they were. We don't often do that anymore. In our culture, Maori culture does it a wee bit, and it's brilliant. Of to look at someone and to ask someone, well, I'll pick someone now. Who can I pick? Vanessa. So hands up if someone in the room doesn't know who Vanessa is at all. Okay. All right. So Andrew doesn't know who Vanessa is. But by namesake, he could eliminate half the room being Vanessa. Is that right? But then Vanessa, who Vanessa is, who I know Vanessa to be, there's more to it than who Brenton knows Vanessa to be, isn't it? Brenton's knowledge of that question, to be answer the question of who Vanessa, Brenton's Vanessa's son, by the way. But who Brenton, how Brenton could answer that question, who is Vanessa, was deeper than how I could answer that question, or how Andrew, who doesn't even know who Vanessa is, could. And then Sheldon, that beautiful man sitting beside Vanessa, who's been married to Vanessa for how many years? 23 years. Sheldon could answer that question deeper than anyone else in the room. So as we look into John, and as we look how John chooses to answer the question, who is Jesus? He does it so differently than the others. He doesn't go back to the family tree or say to that level or this level. But he goes back, and where does he take us to answer that question, who Jesus is? He takes us to the very beginning. I love that the writer of John, in telling the story of Jesus, isn't telling the story as being about a man during a time in a certain place in history. But to answer the question of who Jesus is to look at the entire story of God. To look at Jesus, to put into context of the question of who Jesus is to look at the very history, the very great story of God itself. That in the beginning, before anything was, he was. So it's often said when you look at and you dig into sort of this Gospel of John that because it is so different, therefore what John, or the writer of John, chooses to put within this book, and we'll find it, it points very clearly to the purpose in which it was written. And I've already said one of them, which is to answer that question, who is Jesus? You know, so hopefully you're going to kind of carry on. We're going to carry on, but you're more than welcome to carry on digging into this book in advance. So you look cool on the day when we get to where you've been and you already know all the answers. But I encourage you to dig into it. But I encourage you to dig into it with that eye of, okay, so everything that's in this book has been put in there for a specific reason. One of those reasons is to communicate, one, who Jesus is. The second main reason that everything that is in this book is to answer that question of why should we believe? Why should we put our hope, our trust, or can we indeed put our hope and trust in this Jesus? Two great questions. I really do hope, and I really want to invite you to do that with your calendar. I think you'll have a week like you've never had before. Give yourself 5 to 10 minutes. Put it in there, remind yourself, and I think it will make a considerable difference to your perspective on how you see things and the questions of why. Now, verse 1 of the scripture says, John writes, in the beginning was the Word. For a lot of people who would have read that initially in the first end of the first century, second century, the Word could also be used, and the words that the writer was using could also translate to wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom or wisdom itself. And within that age and within that time, wisdom also, not necessarily with the Jews, but with the pagans, wisdom or knowledge or what was often considered like an abstract thing. The philosophy of the day was you pursued wisdom, but it wasn't anything necessarily that was solid, that you could put your hands on or grab hold of it. And yet what we read in John is this introduction of, if you're looking for wisdom, let me introduce him to you. His name is Jesus. You know, we sit here this morning with having been invited to be followers of Jesus, having been allowed to be children of the living God. That's quite amazing to me. I spent a lot of time thinking about this week, that I would be invited in to being God's son. You know, we read in the scriptures, but to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. I love that. You know, we will never set eyes on another person who hasn't been given the right, who has the availability to have to be called a son or a daughter of God. I think one of the great themes of this book of John that we're going to dig into and we're going to look at is knowing who the Father is as well. What I loved about N.T. Wright's quote is that in Jesus we see the Father. that in looking at Jesus, we see the Father's nature. We see what he's like. So who is Jesus? The scripture we've just read has a few answers to that question that I want to read out. Who is Jesus? He's the Word. He was there at the very start. Through him, all things were made. He's the one who contained and contains life and light. Who is Jesus? He challenged the darkness before creation. He challenges the darkness in creation today. He's the Word that brings into being new creation when he says, "Let there be light." So who is Jesus? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The first fruits of them that slept. The voice burning in the bush. The Messiah, the King. Saved by grace, made holy in him. Set apart, sanctified. Lover of my soul. Redeemer, the second Adam, my Savior, my miracle, provider, best friend, Redeemer, lover of my soul, the Holy One. Jesus is God manifest in flesh, the Word, the Jewish Messiah. Jesus is life, perfect love, my friend. He's my Lord and my Master. Who is Jesus? The Word made flesh, God's love in skin, my big brother, the rock on which I stand, the leader. Savior of the world, Son of God, Savior, my rock. He's everything. He's friend, Savior, Counselor, life, Father, friend, Creator. The express image of the Father. He's love. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or pain, but a birth that comes from God. So the word became a human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" From his abundance we have all received one glorious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. For all of us, as we consider that question, I want to invite us to think about that for each and every one of us, Jesus is more than we ever thought. He's more love than you ever thought. He's kinder than you thought. He's more gracious. He's more caring. He's stronger than you ever thought possible. He's softer than you ever thought possible. He's able to make ways that you could never have imagined. There isn't a better shoulder than Jesus to put your head on and cry on if you need to do that. He's more real than you ever thought possible. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for our time with you. I thank you for each person that's here today and for the invitation that you've given us to ask the question of who is Jesus. I thank you for all of the answers that have been texted through And now we ask you, Father, we ask you, Jesus, to answer that question for us. Who are you? For those who are suffering, Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself in suffering. For those of us who are on the mountaintop or in a great place, God, Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself in victory and triumph. And I want to particularly pray for those of us who are afraid to ask the question, who haven't really thought that much about it, and don't like the idea of thinking a lot about it. God, I ask that you would reveal yourself in that fear. And as we go through this book of John together, God, I ask that we would find you in the depths of your word. That's not a scary place. But it's a place where our vulnerability encounters a loving God. And that we as a church would continue to know what it is to love one another well, but also what it is to love you well, to know you, to be known by you. Amen. So I leave you this morning with that challenge. So 5 minutes, once a day, repeat it for a week. Ask yourself those two questions. Who is Jesus? And why should I believe in him? Or why can I believe in him? And then just, if you want to, if it's nothing too personal, let us know how you get on. And we're going to continue to look through John together over the next months ahead. Next week, we're still in school holidays, but next week we've got Vic Francis from Shore Vineyard coming up to speak, which is very, very cool. You'll love him. So Vic serves on our board as well as the national board of the Vineyard, but he's also just a brilliant friend. So Vic's coming up to share with us. So yeah, very exciting. The rest of us, why don't we stand? Say hello to someone you don't know. Enjoy some morning tea together. If you'd like some prayer, we'd love to stand and pray with you as well.